Good morning, everyone. Welcome to those who are Wi-Fi available. I'm preaching to the choir because I'm telling them that they can come here for Wi-Fi, but evidently they have Wi-Fi, and everyone here already knows. There you go. Yeah. Okay. So we are now coming to the end of our learning. And so I thought it might be sort of nice to talk about other endings, namely when you have two partners who jointly own property, when they decide, or maybe not when they decide, when maybe only one of them decides, but when the conclusion is reached that they are no longer going to continue in this partnership and they split, so how does that work? So there's going to be two parts. This one we're going to talk about when they're actually splitting and the ramifications of that, and the next week we'll talk about if and when and how it works if one of the parties proposes a buyout instead of splitting 50-50, but actually I'll buy you out or you buy me out. That we'll talk about next week. Parts of it, a little bit, will come up today, but we'll really address that more directly next week. So we'll start with our Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. It tells us the following. It is the last Mishnah in the first parak. It says, Ein cholkin et hachatzer ad sheh arba amot lezeh v'arba amot lezeh. So you can't, if you have two partners who own this field together, they're not allowed to, one of them is not allowed to force the others to split. What just happened here? Okay, I don't know. I'm just something funny, but everyone's still there? Yeah, hopefully. Okay. Good, okay, good. Okay. I'm going to raise my volume a little bit. Okay. So one of them decides to split.
Can I just interrupt for just
a
second?
Yeah, please.
This subject exists in modern times in an area called shareholders' agreements. And so if one of the members of the bar could mention that later on, but Jeffrey, of course, is not available today, but if somebody else could mention it, there are some very, very interesting situations like forced buyouts and things like that. There's also something else called a drag-along and other things like that that we can would be interested to see the parallels.
Cool. Okay, yeah, for sure. It's interesting also, can you for those who didn't hear, that this also exists in secular law. You called it something...
Shareholder agreement,
which is interesting, because we'll see if that... that sounds like something that's agreed upon already at the beginning, as an shareholder's agreement. So we'll see that we'll see elements of that today even. But thank you. And
it's a consensus situation. You know, you go into it and everybody's the old story is everybody's happy at the time of the setup of the company, and they therefore happily sign the shareholders agreement. And then, of course, there's breakup issues later, and that's why it's taken care of at the beginning when it's all sunshine lollipop.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
See you.
Great. Thanks. Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. We'll come back maybe to this idea towards the end. But so fine. So still in this Mishnah. So we're talking about two people own this property. Ein cholkin et hachatzer ad sheh arba amot lezeh v'arba amot lezeh. So that's a chatzer. We're talking about a sadeh. V'lo et hasadeh ad sheh ba tisha kabin lezeh v'tisha kabin lezeh. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad sheh ba tisha chatzi kabin lezeh v'tisha chatzi kabin lezeh. Okay, different. How much does each person need to have when you're talking about a sadeh? V'lo et hagina ad sheh ba chatzi kav lezeh v'chatzi kav lezeh. Rabbi Kiva omer beit rova. Okay, again, when it comes to a gino, what are the numbers? A little bit of machloket there. V'lo et hatraklin, v'lo et hamoran, v'lo et hashovach, v'lo et hadlit, v'lo et hamerchatz, v'lo et beit habad, v'lo et beit hashlachin, ad shehei bahen kedei lezeh, lezeh. Right. So in this case, it's not just the chatzer, it's not just the sadeh, it's not just the gino, but it's in all these things. And I don't think that this list is intended to be like an exhaustive list. It's merely saying that for all these things, there has to be enough that if they split it, they would each have something usable and respectable and legitimate. V'zeh haklal, kol shechalek ushmo alav cholkin, v'imlav ein cholkin. And the general klal is, if there's enough that we would say, there's a fly here, everyone's entitled to get rid of that fly.
Thank you for permission.
The basic idea is that as long as, if we split it, and I have something and we still would call it this thing, and you could have yours and you would still call yours that thing, like the name still exists, that's enough for us to say that it's large enough that it's splittable, right? And because both of us would end up with substance, something of value here. And the Mishnah continues, Ein matar bizman she'ein shneim rotzim. That's only when both of them don't want to do it, right? If I want to leave, I'm tired of us sharing this trakline, I want out, you don't want to split, I can say, no, but look, it's big enough that I'll have it and you'll have it, I can force you to split it, that's that. But if it's not big enough, but if they both want to split it, even if it's smaller than this, but we both agree that we want to split it, we split it. The Kitvei Kodesh, when it comes to Kitvei Kodesh, even if we both want it, we both own the Sefer Torah, and we say, let's split it, the Mishnah is saying, you cannot split Sefer Kodesh, Kitvei Kodesh, that can never be split, even if both parties want it. But any other thing, if we both have it, even if we both split it and end up being like really small and impractical and unusable, if we both agree that we want to split it, we can go ahead and split it. That's this Mishnah in source number one. So I want to look at a couple different things here. First, cholkin bizman sheyesh ba din chaluka. What is the idea that when it's big enough, we can split it? What is the idea that we can split it unilaterally, meaning I can say I want out of this relationship. We entered into this agreement. We didn't necessarily sign some shareholders agreement. We came in together. We bought this property together. And now I say I want out. So what gives me the right? And you don't want out. But it's big enough. It's a huge, enormous field. We split the field in half. You have a usable field. I have a usable field. So what gives me the right to pull out of this agreement that we entered into together? So, two basic options. The Rush in source number two, he says, in a part of a longer response, he says, Ki chachamim ratu shetov latzaken chaluka b'chol devar shel shutfut. Chazal saw that it'd be a good idea that there's always an opportunity for chaluka, any type of partnership. Im yash bashir, provided that you're not going to mess over the other party. Cholkin b'goral, so then they could split it with a lottery, v'im lav b'gudu agud, and if not, then they do this process of gudu agud, which is the buyout thing, which we're going to talk about next week. Mishum dekader deshut v'lo karir v'lo chamima. Right? If you leave it, I think, as a shared type of thing, you could end up being that no one's happy here. It's not going to work out. And so Chazal, the Rosh is saying, Chazal understood that even though everyone's feeling really good about this agreement that we're going to own this property, it's going to be great, they also know that it might not be great. And if they were forced, Mikar, to stay together, it could be disaster. And so they leave an escape hatch, provided that no party is going to get messed over by the other party, anyone can leave. So long as the other party doesn't get messed over. Mm-hmm. That's the way the Rush understands it. So the Mabit, source number three, he commenting on, I just realized right now I don't have on which halacha it is, but in the first parak, he has here, Mash yesh bo chaluka, kofina shutvin ze etzel achlok, v'she'en bo din chaluka, yesh bo din gudo le'gud, o dir lizmanim. So if there's din chaluka, they split it. If there's not din chaluka, then you have the buyout option, or they split it by time. O schir le'achrim, or let's give it to sell it to someone else. V'nira de'kol ze hu min ha-Torah. He, I think, unlike the Rush, he is seeing this as like a, not just a takana of chazal, that they said, oh, we should put this in here, but that it's already a din mide oraita, that any partnership, already the Torah identifies, there has to be this way out. I don't know that there's necessarily a meaningful nafka mina here.
Is his min ha-Torah the ben yishu ben achiv ben gero that we sort of gave for shnei in general, or does he have another root?
I don't know. I don't know. The question is where is this min ha-Torah? There's certainly no explicit pasuk that says this. So what is the basis of saying that it's min ha-Torah? They say that it's a takanat chazal. Makes sense.
But it can fit into the shchein roots that we gave in the beginning
right.
of the year.
Right.
They were just kind of weird.
Yeah. So Rav is saying that we could, if we wanted, maybe the Mabit is saying it fits with any of the other ideas that we had for the basis of Hilchot Shchinim. Maybe yes, maybe no. That's that. That's this idea of how this chalukah can even happen in the first place. Okay, so now the next question is what seems to be an unnecessary line here. Shneim rotzim lachlok, ve'in badin chalukah. Right, so the Mishnah had told us, if they both want to split, and there's no din chalukah, they can still split. So what is this idea? What is the value of that sentence? So all good questions ultimately come from Chashuk Echemed. So that's a question from source number four. We have the following question. She'ila. Achim she'yoshu talit me'avim ha-tzadik. I think this is not just like tzadik a garment, this is tzadik a...
Admol.
What?
Admol it means.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying the talis here is not a beged, the talis is a talis.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying. Okay, I don't know. I right. Maybe you think talis is a garment. It's not a garment. I'm saying it's a talis. Okay. No, lo meshana. Maybe it does meshana, but not for now. Kol achad rotze lischop talit. Each one of them wants this talis. Hayim yesh begezizat ha-talit mishum bal tashri v'asur legozuzo. So they both want to split this talis. What's ridiculous?
They don't want to split the talis, the two.
The talis.
Mishpat Shlomo, exactly. They don't want to split it too.
Let's see who's gonna give up.
This is the way they've decided they'll resolve this. They both inherited. They both want it for themselves. Maybe we should just split it. They both agree to split it.
Yeah, I think it's a mishpat Shlomo. One of them is trying to fool the other, but
probably he wants them to call the bluff.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Well, that doesn't come up, interestingly enough. Okay. Yeah, there's actually, I didn't bring that up, but there's the conversation that we're about to have, people do bring that Mishnah up. Okay, so he has a longer response here. Instead of skipping to it, we'll look at the sources that he quotes and then look at actually what he says. So we have, first of all, any thoughts? What do you think?
Land has a value even if it's small land. So I have a small yard. Chazal wanted.
What are you going to do with the small yard? Like the whole concept of Ein Badin Chalukah is that there's nothing you can do with it.
I have a small yard, so I could do a barbecue there. I mean, I have a small place to put my food. I have something to do with.
Okay.
There is some kind of value.
And therefore,
half
no. Okay,
half
so
a
dollar
that has sentimental value. Well,
he said here, this is the way they
want
to do it.
Huh? Both parties are agreeing.
The question is there something to do with it with half a dollar?
Yes, it's very
so
well if it's something that I'm just hanging on the wall,
I think
right?
It doesn't matter because the idea was everyone should get something. And when it was something, so land is something. I mean,
no, but we said
the entire world is one big piece of land. But still, yeah, we still divide it among ourselves.
No, if they want to have a useless piece of cloth, they are allowed to have a useless piece of cloth. The only question is whether the thing about Kisvei Kodesh applies to Chatzei Mitzvah beyond Kisvei Kodesh.
But his question is about Baal Tashrit.
Yeah. So the question is, let's say you have a usable. I think the direction that he's taking this, because Rishonim taking this direction, but the direction that he's presenting this question is one of, is there Baal? You have a usable talis. If we split it, it's not going to be usable talis anymore.
But let's say
yeah.
Shir, as that says, so now you have a scarf, and it was your friend for your father's talis. So now you feel close to your father every single day by wearing a scarf.
I'm saying even if it's not a talis anymore, you can still say there's something.
I hear. Yeah, so it is like
if we say we start with the talis of Benwell Shear, split it half, now it's a scarf. Then
I'll tell you also,
it's still sentimental, but no longer a din of.
If it's really and it's more like you say, if it's really like
usually
they are worth a lot. Also, a piece of it.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of it's true.
Right.
I assume that if they'll sell it whole and split the money, it would be better than having half of a piece. Because a person wants to have the talis
of
Baal
Shem.
No, but some rich person will prefer to have the entire talis of Baal Shem to buy it for $1 million.
All it is one strand for command.
He's going to address that. We're not going to focus on that because my interest is more in the Baal Tashrit piece of this question. But he does bring up in the end the fact he ultimately concludes that he thinks that it's Kitvei Kodesh Davga and not any Chefza. But because it's specific, Rashi specifically says on the Kitvei Kodesh that it's a Genai, but it's which I mean it's a Genai
for the split.
So he doesn't think so. But we're not going to go there. The focus that I wanted to focus on, because the Rishonim focus on this, is the question of Bal Tashri, which is whether this question is the actual question or whether this is just a question he invented to get to the question of Bal Tashri. No, it doesn't matter. But like the question really that I want to focus on right now is this Bal Tashri issue. Is that could we say that maybe they're not allowed to split it because you're needlessly destroying something? Idan, are you questioning or just stretching your hair? Okay. Okay, so here, so to start, we have source number 5, which is Rashi on this Mishnah, has the following line. Afilu b'vachu mikan yachloku. The Mishnah had said that they can split it if they both agree, right? Bizman she'ein rotzim. Aval bizman she'shneim rotzim, afilu b'vachu mikan yachloku. If they both want it, they can split it even if it's smaller than ein badin chaluka. So Rashi says, what is the purpose of this line? Who cares? Mishum debayi lemitni.
It's obvious. People could do whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah. Mishum debayi lemitni. So what is the purpose of this line? Mishum debayi lemitni v'kitvei kodesh, afal pishneim rotzim lo yachloku tani reishas. Well, the reason that this line is here, it's not necessary. Rav Yehuda is saying it's not necessary. Of course, yeah, they want to split it, they can split it. Why is this line here? It's here to just get us to the kitvei kodesh piece. Oh, kitvei kodesh you can't. But the first... there's no chiddush in the first line. Don't read into anything in the first line. Ultimately, Rashi is saying you could get rid of it. The real point of this is the kitvei kodesh part. And this, what commentaries, achronim, are pointing out is that this idea in Rashi, I didn't quote any achronim who are saying this, but you can see it even, that the idea of where Rashi is getting this from is also already latent a little bit in the Gemara earlier when the Gemara is discussing the first Mishnah. We'll see the following. It's source number 6. So this Gemara appears on Gimel, but it quotes the Mishnah on Bet. So I give you the line of the Mishnah that it's discussing, just so that you can know it. Source number 6. So the Mishnah says, first Mishnah, right? Hashivin shirasu lasot mechitza, bechatzer, bonim tekota, b'emtza, etc., etc. Okay. So they want a shutvin, partners that want to do a mechitza, and then it gives all the details of that. So what are we dealing with? What type of chatzer are we dealing with? So the Gemara, it says, this is the second paragraph there. Rabbi Yasin, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnatinu k'she'ein ba din chaluka. The case that we're dealing with in our Mishnah is there is no din chaluka. V'hu deratzu, my kamashim. So what does it mean, deratzu? It's coming to tell us that they are, even though there's no din chaluka, both parties are opting to split it. My kamash blan, dechileit be din chaluka, ki ratzu pligi. But if you're going to tell me that all you're saying, oh, delayed by din chaluka, but they want to, so they can do it, Tanina, we have a Mishnah already that says that. So, if that's the whole point of this Mishnah is to, on Gimel, is to tell us that if they both want to split it, if there's Ein Badin Chaluka, they can split it. We're saying, but we have that Mishnah already. That's the Mishnah on Yud Aleph that says that. So the Gemara answers, no. Imi hatam hava min afilu b'chum mikan b'misibis ba'ama. Kamash milan hacha kotel. That Mishnah over there, you wouldn't know about what you have to build the wall out of. So that's why you need our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not only talking about the Chatin Chalukah, but it's also telling us about the building of the wall, that it has to be a proper wall. So then have ours, and you don't need that one. So the Gemara says, no, you need that Mishnah Yud Aleph. Why do you need that? Seifi Tzrichalei, Uvikitvei Kodesh, Avbi Shishneim Rotzim, Lo Yachloku. Because you need that other Mishnah, because that's where you get this idea of Kitvei Kodesh. Indicating, and this is what people are pointing out, that Rashi's getting this, he's pulling what he said in source number 5 from what the Gemara itself is saying in source number 6, which is the whole value of the Mishnah on Yud Aleph is the fact that it has this Kitvei Kodesh line. And nothing else is really that important. You can get everything else from either from logic or from the earlier Mishnah, but the whole point is the Kitvei Kodesh line. This is in contrast to the point that the Yad Ramah makes in source number 7. On our Gemara and Yod Aleph and Bet Aleph. So he says, Eimatai, when can you do this? When they split, Bizman she'ein shneim rotzim. So they can't split if there's Ein Badin Chalukah, Bizman she'ein shneim rotzim. Aval, Bizman she'shneim rotzim, afilu pachun mikan yachloku. Uvekit ve'kodesh, afal pi she'shneim rotzim, lo yachloku. My Bizman she'ein shneim rotzim, she'echad mehen levado hu she'rotzeh v'chaver mekev alav. Aval, Bizman she'shneim rotzim lachlok, afilu pachud miken yachloku veleika mishum bal tashchit. V'kitvei kodesh, afilu mishneim rotzim lo yachloku mishum v'zayon kitvei kodesh. But here, the Yad Ramah is saying that the point of this Mishnah is trying to get at is to tell us they can split it and don't come to say, oh, but there's bal tashchit. They can't split it because of bal tashchit. No, the Mishnah is trying to tell us even if they're going to be essentially rendering this thing totally useless and you would say that's bal tashchit, So the Mishnah is saying, Leikim Mishum Bal Tashrit. There's no Bal Tashrit here. If both parties want to split this item, even if it's basically going to render this item unusable, it's no issue of Bal Tashrit. So I think the idea behind this, because I think when my Chavruta and I, when Idan and I first read this Yad Ramah, we were both sort of bothered by what does this mean? Like, if Bal Tashrit is, why is it just because you and I agree, like, if I agree that I want to destroy this fruit tree, I agree, it's my fruit tree, I want to destroy the fruit tree, I'm not allowed to destroy the fruit tree, that's Bal Tashrit. So why is it now that we both agree, but isn't Bal Tashrit, like, it's yeah. Ben Adam L'Makom.
Yeah.
Like,
it doesn't yeah. matter if both of you think it. Still right. Don't do it.
So I think the idea, and this is said more elsewhere as well, but I think if you look at the Sefer Achinuch's treatment of the Isser of Lo Lahashkid Ilanei Ma'achal, this is source number 8 in the bottom of page 1. So he says that really this Isser is really about cutting down these Ilanot during this time of, what's it called, a siege. And skipping to the underlined part, but included in this is also this other law, right? Included in this is tearing a garment, or destroying a kli, levatala, right? For no purpose. And everything that's it's just total destruction. And he says more directly on the top of page 2, in the second paragraph, when he talks about Midinei HaMitzvah, Ma'ashem Ruz Yuchonam Livracha, Shalol Asra Torah, Shalol Lakutz Ilanei Ma'achal, Ela Bekotzetz Otam Derech HaShchata, Aval Vaday Mutar Lakutz Eim Imtza Debedavar Toelet. You can certainly cut it down if there's some value to cutting it down. He gives an example, Kigon Shayu Demei Otoa Eitzi Karim, Vizeh Ratza Lemochro, Ola Selekitzi Vekitzi Tatan Nezek. Okay, if there's some value, cutting down the tree for no real value, just destroying it, that's going to be the Isser of Bal Tashrit. But if there's some value here, it's not going to fall under this Isser. So I think what the Yad Ramah is essentially saying is that this would be within the realm of a Toela that would not be a problem with Bal Tashrit. You might think, you're destroying this thing, you can't do that, it's Bal Tashrit. So I think what the Yad Ramah is trying to say is that this is enough of a toelet for both parties to walk away with something. They could not split it, and it would be fine. The point is that we both want to split it, and if we're okay with it, we're both going to have less. Okay, that's enough. That's enough for us to say you're both okay with it. There's a toelet. You don't want to work together anymore. You want to take it on your own. That's enough of a toelet that we'll just say go ahead. There's no Isra Bal Tashrit. I think that's what you have to say in response to the question of how can you just flippantly allow Bal Tashrit.
I don't understand, what is the
Baal
Tashrit here?
It's not
a
Shchata.
I mean...
You're saying the Talis? The
Chashu Chemes
case?
No, the lambs. I mean, why is it a Shchata?
Ah, okay, good, very good. Did you read Lemus Le'Yaakov?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, well...
He's
Lemus Le'Yaakov is gonna talk about this apparent machloket here between the Yad Ramah and... Wait, what do you...
In the case of the land... The land is where it was.
Yeah.
You have less land to farm.
Okay, good. Very good, very good. Very good, very good, very good, very good, very good. Amos Yaakov is going to say that exact point. Source number 9. So he's going to talk about this whole thing. He says, "My kamash blan to chilei beidin chaluka ki ratzu pligi tanina imet abizman shein shneim rotzim v'av abizman shneim rotzim filu b'chumi kan cholkin v'chule v'leni hav lo leni hach save it's richalei kit ve'korish avvi shneim rotzim lo yachloku." That's all that. That's that Gemara. We have to understand. Why would I ever think that I can't? Like, if two parties agreed, like, what is the? There must be some purpose for this line in the Mishnah here, because there's, of course, who's going to stop us if we own this property? Ain badin chaluka, but he and I both decide. You and I both decide we want to split it. Who's going to stop us from splitting it? What is the point of that line? Rashi was bothered, of course. So Rashi said, there's no, of course, if Shneim Rotzim they can split it. It's just there to get to the Kitvei Kodesh piece. Aval b'gemara didan mashma delo pshita. Lulei shekfar hishmianu b'mishna rishona v'chem be'emek katav etosvot yom tov mishna zo aval ein stimad Rashi muchach ken v'tver d'Yisrael katav k'verish Rashi. So d'tver d'Yisrael, and like that's source number 10. He quotes like Rashi, and you can look at that. Mishum seifa nakatla. V'osif, but he adds, inami d'kamash malan d'ein kan bal tashchit. Alternatively, there's no bal tashchit here. You can look at his words on source number 10. Inami d'kamash malan d'ein kan mishum bal tashchit. V'dilo sagi b'lav hachi. I think he's essentially saying that it wasn't going to work as it is, so we should split it, and that's enough of a reason to say you can split it. There's not going to be an issue of bal tashchit. That's the way he had understood it. V'zed dachu, Emes Liakov says in source number 9, beginning of the second set of underlines. Diashmenu kan iser v'heter. He says it's very difficult to say, like the what he's calling it the Tiferet Yisrael, but it's also the Yad Ramah who we saw earlier. It's very difficult to say that this Mishnah all of a sudden is introducing us to dinim of iser v'heter, that we're talking about chalukat karka, and then oh by the way, there's no iser of bal tashchit here. Why would you ever think that you're going to all of a sudden introduce this idea of bal tashchit? Like, why would iser v'heter be coming up here? Hen emet de b'kifei kodesh lav medini mamunu. Okay, kifei kodesh is not really dini mamunu. That's iser v'heter. Aval zehu mishum tehizkir decholkin v'ya'olel datin la'hatira iser kamalash malan de'aser. Okay, so it's just because you're talking about chalukah, so we're saying, oh, by the way, don't think that it's okay. But why would you introduce this idea to say, oh, there's no iser bal tashchit here? That doesn't make sense. Aval hashmienu kshu asuk b'dinei mamunot. Haheter lo mistaber. Uveikar teretzo mistaber. Dinehit v'talit v'chayagav neshapir yesh lemar d'ika bal tashchit. Aval chatzer v'gina haaretz le'olam omedet. V'ein kan shum hashchata b'guf hadavar. As both of you were saying, there's no hashchata here when it comes to the land anyway. The land is always here. So as Rabbi Tzvi said, okay, now you have a smaller piece of land to farm, but that's not hashchata. So Emes Liakov ultimately says, he doesn't think, Elam shu mafsid ledidei, you're losing something out. And that's not considered hashchata. The land is always there. Good. Okay, so with this, here's what the Erez Zilberstein says is the answer to the question, going back to the question of the two brothers inherited this talis, and they decide they're going to split it together, they're going to just cut it in half. Is there an Isser of Bal Tashchit here? So he says, Tshuva, Nemar, B'sechah, Baba Batra, Daf Yad Aleph, Amad Aleph, B'smach Shnei Rotzim, Afil B'chol Meken Yachlokuv, Kitav Rashi, Mishum Debay Lemitni, B'seifa, B'kitav Kodesh, Afil B'shish Shnei Rotzim, Lo Yachloku, Tani Reshi Yachloku. We had that Rashi, then he quotes the Tiferet Yisrael, which is our earlier Osif, if you look at Rav Kamenetsky, Yaakov Kamenetsky brings up, he says, I don't like that you say that there's all of a sudden this heter of Isra of Bal Tashchit over here. And Emet Kodesh Labadini Mamad is quoting everything. Okay, to the underline. But it's talit is a feminine? No, mishana. I mean, Achen yu yam b'yad ramab daf yud aleph amid aleph ot ted vav shekatav lahedya shemitar lachlok at talit ve'ein bazeh mishum bal tashchit v'kidivrei tiferet Yisrael. So he's essentially saying that, look, you've Yaakov Kamenetsky on one hand, and you've got the Tiferet Yisrael and the Yad Ramah on the other hand, who are both saying, don't be concerned about an Isra Bal Tashchit here. Rav Kamenetsky is saying, of course you should be concerned about Isra Bal Tashchit. It's just, don't read into this Mishnah. Yeah.
They discussed Talit?
No, the
Emes Yaakov
threw in the word. It was the Emes Yaakov threw it in.
I didn't see that in the Ramah Talit as
No, he mentioned it,
didn't he? Where are you saying Talit?
No, because he said that the
machlokes
is regarding the talis.
So if you're going to talk about a shirt, a talit, like anything as karka, there's not even a havamina to be baltashli. If you want to talk about clothing, though, There would be Baal Tashkit there.
So he says, he puts in the mouth of the Yad Ramah that he actually is discussing Talis when he says so?
I think he's rejecting the whole premise. He doesn't. I think he disagrees with the Yad Ramah in general. Even if the Yad Ramah were to say Talis, he says that's ludicrous. Why would the Mishnah be introducing Yisr Vaheter when it's talking about Dine Mamonot?
So where is that machlokas between Tiferes Yisrael and Emes Yaakov about Talis? The Baal Tashkit. According to Emes Yaakov, of course there is, and assumingly also maybe
The Yad Ramah and Tiferet Yisrael are saying the whole chiddush of the Mishnah is that there's no Baal Tashkit. And he's saying, of course there's no Baal Tashkit when it comes to Karka. But even to say there's no Baal Tashkit for a Talis, of course there is. Oh, it's not, what's the, this Mishnah's not talking about that. This Mishnah's, Dine Mamono, it's not bringing an Isser Vaheter here. So he thinks it's a stretch to say there's even Isser Vaheter here Bichlau, let alone if it's Karka, so there's no Hashkata here at all. I mean, you could argue that, and I spent a little bit of time just in my own preparation looking into Baal Tashkit in general. Like, you could make the argument that, and I sort of skipped this over in the Mesli Yaakov, but you could make the argument that if I take my wallet and all my money and just throw it away into the water, that could be Baal Tashkit. So that's essentially what I'm doing right here. Right. Yeah. I mean, I didn't spend that much time in it, but the way Amos Yaakov says he doesn't. I skipped this line before, but I think what he's saying here is that he doesn't think that splitting the karka is essentially throwing your money into the water. He just thinks that it's not making more money. You could be making much more money. He says, this is the last line of Amos Yaakov, verse number 9. I think that's what he's saying, is that this is not hashchata. You're losing some, you're not really throwing your wallet into the water. But one could probably argue with this that maybe splitting this karka, making it, rendering it like not usable, is actually more akin to throwing away your money as opposed to just saying, well, you're just not going to make as much money. There's no mitzvah to make a lot of money. I don't know. But I think that's what the Amos Yaakov is saying. One could argue with that. Okay, but either way, the Chashuk Yechemer of Zilberstein in source number 11 was essentially pitting this up, a question of Baal Tashkit in the case of the brothers inheriting their father's talis, the Admor's talis, putting it, if there's an issue of Baal Tashkit, there could be this machloket, essentially Emet Liakov versus the Yad Ramah and Tiferet Yisrael.
I mean, there is, as such, I'm blanking on where I saw it, about a person who wants to retire, would be able to learn, but now he won't make money to get stuck. So there is such a deal.
Mitzvah to make money so you can give tzedakah. That actually sounds familiar. I feel like someone quoted that this year, actually.
I saw it. I don't remember.
It sounds... Shanus is nodding, so I think...
I was giving shiur years ago.
Oh, I thought... But you were nodding. It sounds familiar enough that I feel like...
Is there a mitzvah going to medical school in order to be able to take care of people? Like there's a whole sugya.
Yeah.
Even in philosophy, there's a whole mile of earning in order to give... So we can say altruistic if you're making a lot of money because you're doing it so you can give more to charity.
Ah, beautiful. Okay. Speaking of charity, everyone should make sure to donate to Baby Josh's Sukkot Day of Giving. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
We should make more money to give more on the day of giving.
Okay. Onward. Okay. So Zilberstein also quotes, he brings up another proof about... why he thinks this would be okay, from the Trumat HaDeshen in source number 12. This is the following case. It's a semi-long Trumat HaDeshen. I'm just giving you the case and his answer at the end because that's all Zilberstein does with it anyway. So the question that he's dealing with over here, Reuven and Shimon shutfim b'bayit, right? Their partners here. V'tovei Reuven and Shimon lachlok imo habayit, ki yesh bo din chaluka be'orech uverochav. Right, it's got a din chalukah here. V'shimon b'ma'en lachlok b'amro shibgara ha'bayit b'chalko v'yivchatu damav harbeh. It's going to hurt, the value is going to go down. Ki ata yesh to koftsim likach o liskor ukshe yitchalek lo yimitzeh bosh l'shum echad min abatim. V'ruven modeh gam ken bazeh ach sheomer shedato shlo lakbid u'mechil b'giron zeh v'shum telo nichale klal b'shutfut. Kofinet Shimon lachlok olav. Right? There is a din chalukah here, but one partner is saying, "Look, but it's going to it's going to hurt the value." The other guy says, "Yeah, I know it's going to hurt the value, but it's not that big of a deal. We're not going to lose that much, and I really can't stand this partnership anymore. I want out." Okay, so the question is, can we force now the other partner, because there's a din chalukah, can we force him to, they have to separate. So in his answer, tshuva yered de din zeh tole b'shiur ha-gira'on u'pachad ha-damim sh'yeh le'bayit la'achar chalukah mikodem ha-chalukah. The question is really going to revolve around how much loss is there in the value here. If it's going to be substantial loss, you're not going to split. So we don't cause so much loss for this split. I'll explain what exactly the shear is, and he gives the whole thing, quoting back and forth. In this, the last paragraph, I cut out all the back and forth, but just in the last paragraph, lo matzichad lemekav chaver lachlok. Aval imhu rak kechomesh, v'kol sheken v'chom mechomesh, kofer to lachlok. If there's going to be a loss, granted there's going to be a loss, but it's going to be a minor loss. Sorry, buddy, we're done with it. There's a din chalukah here. I'm sorry you're going to be absorbing some of the loss. See the tshuva. He's shin lamed vav, I think. Shelo, it's his, right? Yeah, it's easy way to remember it. Siman shelo. He goes back and forth and discusses where that shear comes from. That's already the all we need to see really for the Chashuk Chemed in source number 13. So then he continues. Od yu yam b'trumat ha-deshen. This is a continuation from the earlier Chashuk Chemed. Shidam b'devar Reuven v'Shimon shiu shudfim b'bayit v'tovei Reuven et Shimon lachlok imo ha-bayit ki yesh bo din chaluka v'Shimon mema'en lachlok b'omro shikara ha-bayit b'chalko v'yivchetu demav harbe ve'ele. She'im eina hefsed gadol yachol lachafo lachlok. V'im hefsed gadol, eina yachol lachafo yoyen sham. U'mashma midvarav, she'kol zelin lachofer chavero. Ach, that's only if you're one person is forcing the other person, that I can't force you if there's going to be a major loss. Ach, im shneim rotzim, efshal lachalok afilu she'yesh kan hefsed gadol. V'lo choshishim lebal tashchit. Mipnei she'oshim ken letzorach. Since it's for a tzorach, there's a to'elet here, you can go ahead and do it.
Bal Tashchit is destroying something completely. Here, it's not a smart move to do this. So you may be losing value, but it's not Bal Tashchit. Tashchit is to destroy something. It's now
So the talus. It's not a talus anymore.
Exactly. It's no longer a talus. The house is still a house. You divide it to two ridiculously built houses. But there are houses. The talus is no longer talus.
What about the shchata tanefesh if he's going to stay in the partnership with him? He can't stand him anymore.
Look, that's what Tzorach means.
So on the other side, you can say also there is a Baal Tashchit, for example.
But you're looking at Baal Tashchit in different ways. Idan is talking about Baal Tashchit meaning destroying yourself. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about destroying the property.
I think let's look at it both ways.
But I think this property is being destroyed.
It's not destroyed.
I mean, its value is being hurt. Its value is being hurt.
Investment. You're losing your money, and it's chaval. We're not taking money and burning your money.
And the value of the property is the same. If the two of them got together and said we're going to sell it to somebody else, they get the same amount of money as it was worth before.
Yeah, but inside someone to split it.
And the bottom of page number two, right? They're acknowledging the fact that right now everyone's jumping to purchase, but if we split it, it's not going to. No one's going to be trying to buy this property anymore. And Shimon is saying, yeah, Moda, Reuven, Moda. You're right, but.
You have a house here. Yeah. You have a house, but it's a silly house. It's a silly investment to do this sort of thing. If you ask any person who knows economics, don't do it. But here, you're destroying the talus.
And there, what are you saying? Ultimately, you think that this proof, the Truman Edition is not a good proof for this. Okay, fine. Either way. Not challenge notwithstanding, that saying ultimately the hashchata of this talus is different than the hashchata in quotes of the house in the Shemad Adeshen. Okay, notwithstanding, Chashuk Chemed is still at least from. I think he's comfortable taking from the Yad Ramah and the Tever Yisrael against them and the Yaakov and saying there is no issue of Baal Tashchit. He ends up concluding that there is no issue of Baal Tashchit, and he brings up maybe there's an issue of the Kitvei Kodesh, and he says but it's that this Mishnah is unique to Kitvei Kodesh, not any Chefza of Kedusha, and so he ultimately concludes that it's okay, and then he has a parenthetically see elsewhere we talk about like the greatness of using things that belong to Admor.
That's interesting.
Yeah, okay. I want to, in the interest of time, I want to move on from. I don't want to look at Shirei Rabbi Shmuel right now. Source number 14 and 15. Although,
oh, you brought
I did bring it, but we spent 4 hours on it yesterday, so I'm not going to do justice in 20 minutes. So we'll set it aside for right now and look at source number 16, which says Shirei Rav David, who has also addresses this the value of this line, and I think it's just sort of it brings in also the Rambam, which we hadn't seen yet. Source number 16. I'll say it quickly, just because this is all familiar. But he quotes the Mishnah, and he said this: if they both agree, even it's less than a shir, yachloku. He quotes Perish Rashi, Nechinami ein bazeh shum chiddush. Rak Mishnah. This is the underlined second paragraph. Perish Rashi, Dinachinami ein bazeh shum chiddush. Rak Mishnah. To buy the mini sefer, kitvei kodesh avav bishneim rotzim lo yachloku tani reisha yachloku. And he's saying that Rashi is drawing this explicitly from the Gemara and Gimel Amid Aleph. It's the next underline, V'imken, Nimtza de Be'etzim Hadin de Beratzu Cholkin Ein Shum Chiddush Klal, V'rak de Le'eld Ashmeinan de Bonin Koto Mishim Hezekriya Shmei, Hezekriya Shmei, Hezekriya Shmei, Rak Mishim Seif. Okay. V'kasha, this whole idea is a problem for Rambam. De Be'Rambam, I give you the Rambam in source number 17, Katav Nami Dinze, Zelashano, Hashufin Shiratu Lachlok, B'Devar She'ein Bo Din Haluka, So Rambam quotes the Gemara, quotes the Mishnah, saying that if they both agree, they can split it. And the Magid Mishnah says, and it's like Rashi, this line is just here because of the Kitvei Kodesh line. And now he asks, V'tamua, Darei HaRambam Kotev Rak Devar Sheyesh Bo Chiddush LaHalacha. Rambam is not just quoting Mishnayot. Rambam is giving a halacha book. So if the Eich Neima did not get Rak Mishum Seifa. You're going to tell me that Rambam put this here just so we could get to the... Just he'll put the last line. He doesn't need this. Darei Etzem HaChiddush Tiachol LaCharkach LaChavol LaSod Kotel Kadav HaRambam LaCharkach. And you're going to say the whole Chiddush is the Kotel thing? Rambam also has that elsewhere. Why did Rambam put this here? There's no chiddush. There's no value in this. Oh, because of the seifa. That's not how Rambam works. He's not going to put a line here just because of the seifa. Because I don't know if this is true or not, but his point is that Rambam's not going to quote. He's not going to quote a halacha only so that he has the context to say the next halacha. He's going to say the halacha. Ein cholkin kitvei kodesh. Avav bishneim rotzim. Right, but does Rambam... So I don't know. Rav David thinks that that's not classic, that's not the way Rambam works.
So surprising. I'm gonna withhold judgment on the question until I see the answer. Maybe the answer justifies the question.
So he's gonna pull from the Ramban, which is, I didn't give you the Ramban because he goes more deeply into stuff that we're going to cover more next week. Omnam the Ramban Zal, the Ramban Le'el, the Ramban says the following, Katav di'ika shnei chirushim bazeh, the Ramban thinks there are two other chidushim of this line. Not Baal Tashim of this. There's other issues that are brought here. Chada, tzalkadat chamina, afapi shiratzu v'kanu zeh mizeh lachlok, yehesham din gudo oyigud, ke'inyan sheshaninu, kovinu tamochar din korat olokeach, likach kamash malan. V'ainu, tzalkadat chamina, d'aft achar shechalku, akatihe din gudo agud kamash malan. That maybe you would think that even after they've done this whole thing, they decide they're going to split it, and the kanu miyado, and they do the whole process of a formally splitting it, you might think that then one can still say, actually, no, I don't like this. Let's just do a buyout. Buyout we're going to talk about next week. But you might think that you could still do this buyout thing, kamash malan, that no, once they've agreed to split it, they have to split it, and you can't, there's no way back. Once you've agreed to split it and done X, Y, and Z, and have formalized the split, it's got to be split. You can't go back. And the other inami is a similar idea. Inami shlo yamar sevur hayiti sheni yachol akabel ve'achshav in ani yachol akabel v'nimtza kinyan taut sherei have said shnehem v'lo yil klum kamash malan. Also say I thought I could handle this, but you know what? Being alone is worse than being with you. So I want to actually go back. So also kamash malan that you can't. Once they've just agreed to split, it's a split. Harei mevuar. This is the underline, the last line here. Harei mevuar to etzem hadin to shnehem rotzim yachloku. Have a chiddush lefize efshar da'afa Rambam ba'lamar chiddush zeh. So you could say that there's actually still a chiddush here. So even Rambam saying this line, he has in mind maybe one of these two ideas of the Ramban, and that's why it's there. But it's not there as the Magid Mishnah had said. Just to get there, he says there's no way that that's the case. Okay. Questions, thoughts,
if that's the reason why he brought the Risha, if that satisfies him.
If Rambam, let Rambam say this.
Even if he heard the question first place on the Rambam, and that is a satisfying answer, then no problem. But if that's a real question, it's kind of a satisfying answer.
The Rambam says that there's a chiddush. Okay, either it's in the Rambam.
The chiddush is very, 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 very specific, and saying that you're going to understand the chiddush from just bringing the ratio of the Mishnah. It's like, okay.
All right. There's another idea that comes up still when they split it, when there's no din chaluka, and this is something that's brought in the Rif, source number 19. Hanimili, that they can't split it. There's no din chaluka. There's no din chaluka. I want out. You don't want out. But there's no din chaluka. We are not allowed to split. I can't force you to split. Hanimili b'she'ein echad mehen makir et chelko. That's when we don't each have our own recognized spot. Shekol echad v'chad mehen yesh lo reshut lishmesh pekula. It's just like a mishmash. Aval im kol echad mehen makir et chelko ve'en yechu lishmesh pechelko shel chavero cholkin. V'af al pi she'en sham shmona amot lezeh v'shmona amot lezeh mimayd. So even if there's no din chaluka here, you're not going to be enough. But this is our property, but this is my side and that's your side, and I can't go to your side and you can't go to my side. What does your look mean?
No.
Okay.
To
yeah. No. It's sort of hard to understand. They own it jointly, but they have exclusive rights to half. Each of them has exclusive rights to half.
Maybe they're that part of land, and he owns something here and something here and something here, and I don't.
Right, know. But he has exclusive rights to it. But he has exclusive rights to it. Each party can say, "This is mine." And
but
that's yours.
It's not connected to each other. Maybe I have here a piece and here a piece and here a piece, and then my piece in the bigger
fine,
part
fine. But
that's
it's
a classic Hatzara Shoshin. That's why one can force the other one to build a wall.
No, but
what do you mean?
If you own this table, and I own only where your bottle is in that sense, and I own this table, but also this here. I can build a wall here.
Exactly.
Yeah, can you build a wall here? It's not gonna help.
Okay, so he says that if everyone can recognize their own space, That's enough. Even if there's no din chaluka, I can say, look, there's no din chaluka, but this is clearly mine, and that's clearly yours. We're splitting. And he brings proof from this. It's 11:18. I'll skip to the way Rav David Pavarsky in footnote number one sort of explains the proof of the riff. Have you ryan mehad de ita la'el de baratu lachlo kanyo miyadam beruchot cholkin vein achad yechol la'akev al chavera avobi she'ein bo din chaluka vein kanal de kevan de mevuar chalakim cholkin. He says, look, the riff brings a proof from the fact that, and Gimel Amid Aleph, the whole scenario of the Mishnah is that each one of us has a clear area, and there's no din chaluka, and each one of us has a clear area that's ours. So he says, look, it's clear that everyone has their own special area, in this broader sada or chatzer she'ein badin chaluka. Hopefully that was clear enough. That's the riff. The riff has this idea, and he brings a proof from the Gemara. The Rush, in source number 10, says the same idea, but doesn't bring a proof. He says, Tama delo pligi, tlo palgi, b'cholhani ad shehe bo keshir ha-mefurash mishotenu, l'fi she'ein ra'oi l'kol achad l'ishtemesh b'chalko ha-magiyo, l'fi kach, kol achad yechol lamar, ani rotze l'ishtemesh b'kulo. Aval im kol achad makir chalko, v'ein lo reshut l'ishtemesh b'shal chavero, cholkin v'il b'chut, v'afilu p'pachut mishiur ha-mefurash mishotenu, umil de pshita hi. Obviously, if each one has their own identifiable spot of land, and I can't go to yours and you can't go to mine, obviously, even if there's no din chaluka, we can split it. The Papula Charifta just points out, what is the Peshitta thing? He says, Klamar ve'ein tzarich la'araya shekatav arif. The Rush doesn't need the proof of the Rif. The Rif has to bring proof from the Gemara to show you how this works, but the Rush doesn't need any proof. It's a milta to Peshitta. It's obvious. So why is it obvious? So the Netziv, in source number 22, he brings this idea. He says, V'arush hevi l'shon harif, v'kitzur v'siyem alze umilta to Peshitta hu. Vanira dehevin mashikatav harif. He understands what the riff says and agrees with it. Aval im kol echad makir chalko vein lo reshut lishmesh b'shal chavero haynu shemitchilat hashuvtvut pershu b'neim shlo yishtemesh echad b'tzad hasheni. Right, there was. It's not exactly the shareholder agreement, but there was an agreement when they first entered into this partnership that you're going to have a part that was not going to be for me, and I'm going to have a part that's not going to be for you. Mishum hachi shapir katav arush shu milta de pshita vein tzarich l'raya. If that's the case, that we entered into this agreement knowing that we both together we own this property, but I have property here that's really mine, and you have property that's really yours, and we can't interfere with each other's property. So if that's how they entered into the agreement in the first place, so obviously, if one of the parties wants to pull out, they can, because they already entered into the partnership knowing that I had a specific property and you have specific property. So that's why it's milta de pshita, he says. Ve'en tzarich l'raya. Aval, hare harif tarach lavi raya misuget hashas. The rif has to bring proof from the Gemara for this idea. Umashma she mefaresh ha de rav ashi v'hai gav ne'ela kavana de afal gav chenishtat fu stam bechatzer. So he understands, the rif understands differently. They nishtat fu stam bechatzer. We just bought the property together. Stan. V'gam lo iknu ze laze kinyan haguf sheyesh the kol echad b'chelek hasheni. So we never did anything that would give you any... You don't have any legal rights to your side more than... Like, there was never any proper act of kinyan or anything. Either an agreement before we entered into this or after we entered into this, after the fact that we sort of allocated, this is going to be mine, this is going to be yours. Mikom akom kol shesalek atzmo milishtemesh b'tzad hasheni. Vehu eno mishtemesh ela b'tzad should be rare lo la'atzmo. Shuv yechol le'achriach zetze ala chalukam mamash. So he says, look, even if there wasn't any explicit legal agreement, there's no contract, there was no proper act of acquisition, if I have clearly, I've spent all my time only working, using this side of the chatzer, and not going into yours, and you've spent all your time on your side of the chatzer, not entering into mine, that's already sufficient for us to say, this is, even though we bought this together, but I'm only using this, you're only using that, that's enough to say, this is my side, this is your side, and if there's no din chalukah, according to the rif, you could split it. What's that?
It's going to be a headache for any basis where this case comes up to have to prove he was using it, he wasn't using it, how long was he not using it?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Unfortunately, I don't know, fortunately, that seems to be the way that we go the halacha, is the way the Rif understands it, not the way the Rush understands it. Here's what Rambam, source number 23, brings this whole thing. It again says the same thing, just to look at the underlined piece. So actually, we'll start from here. We'll go one line up. Not being able to split it. This rule of the Ein Badin Chalukah, you can't split it, that's when no one recognizes any one specific space that is theirs. Yad Kulan Mishtemesh B'chol Makom. Aval im haya achad mehen makir chalko, af al pi she'ein ba din chaluka, kofet kol achad mehen et chavero lehavdil, bein chalko lechal chavero. If they can recognize their own spot, there's no issue, they can split it. Af al pi she'ein ba din chaluka, still I can force you to leave. And he doesn't say that there's any indication that there was some agreement in the first hand, which according to the Netziv is the rationale for the rush, leading me to assume that the Rambam is going like the Rif and saying that it's simply by mere usage is enough to already make this distinction and to for this split if there's no din chalukah. And source number 24, the Beit Yosef also goes with this. Hashutvin sherasu lachlok et hachatzer kofin ze etze livnot kotel kedei shelo yaziku ze etze bireiya. Uparich my iria ratzu afil lo ratzu lachlok nami kofin ze etze livnot kotel kedei shelo yaziku ze etze bireiya. Amar Rav Asi mishnatenu k'she'ein badin chalukah v'chen katav harif perakama debatra al mishnat ein cholkin et hachatzer ad shehei ba arba amot lezev chulei v'im ken mashkatav kan rabbeinu yachol the tour yachol achoved chaveru la'avdil ben chalko v'chulei haynu davka b'shiyesh makom hahu hezek re'iya. So the Beit Yosef is introducing this idea that it's not all the time. It's specifically in a case of where if I recognize my spot and you recognize your spot and now there's no din chalukah and I'm tired of being a partner with you and I want to have this spot as my own, then I can split it, I guess because I'm already using the spot as my own anyway and I'm now uncomfortable with the fact that you can see me in my spot and I'm using, and we all both basically agree that this is the area that I'm using and that's the area you're using. So I think that's, if there's hezek re'iyah issue, you're dealing with a sadeh or a chatzer that has an issue of hezek re'iyah, then you can force it because I think, he doesn't say this, but I think it's because I'm already using this property. Like, I'm already using this as mine, and you're using that as yours, but I'm using this as mine, and I don't like the fact that you can see me, and that's why, presumably that's why I want to pull out of this shoot food, is because I want to use this now with privacy. And so that's the Hezek Riyah piece. And so I can pull out and force the wall and remove myself from this partnership because I want privacy in the area that I've already been using anyway, that we both agree that I can use. I just want to use it with privacy. And I have a right to that. Even if there's no Din Chalukah, I have a right to that privacy. And source number 25, that is, this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. It's Echad akona mechaver chatzis sadeh, o shnayim shekanu mechad sadeh, o yarshu, o shenitan lahem b'matana, o shechziku bo mehefker, uvikesh echad meshutin lachlok, v'litoch hakol levado, im yesh b'ato karka din chaluka, kovet shar shutfin chvechol kinimo. V'im ein bo din chaluka, ein echad mechem yechol lachof et chavero. I just realized that I didn't include the crucial line. I didn't include the crucial line, but I think it's later on. The Shulchan Aruch is going to say explicitly that this is all, but if there's no Din Chaluka, but there is an issue of Hezek Riyah that's at stake, if I have my, if I can be makir my location, then I can pull out unilaterally and say, this is my spot, I want out, and I can force you to let me take it as my own and presumably build the wall for, to protect my privacy because there's an issue of Hezek Riyah. In conclusion, what we've seen are all these scenarios where chalukah can happen. Either where they, the first piece that we said was where they both agree that they that there's a din chalukah and they both, maybe one wants to, but the chalukah happens. I want to, you don't want to, but there's a din chalukah here. We saw this machlokat rush and the mabit about what the mechanism for that is. But we also see that if there's no din chalukah, there's no din chalukah that I can, if we both agree, we can split it. And then the rifts, if there's no din chalukah, but I can identify my spot, even if you don't want to split, I can force you to split. This is all in the case of chalukah. What we're going to deal with next week is this scenario of gud or agud. Let's say there is no din chalukah, and I have no other mechanism by which to get out of and split the property, but I'm done with the partnership, so we're going to see the Gemara entertains, there's a machloket in the Gemara already, is there an other way to get out of this partnership? Could I force a buyout? Could I force you to purchase the karka from me? Or could I force you to allow me to buy it from you and force a buyout in one direction. That way we can dissolve this partnership, and that's what we will deal with next week. But until then, have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Any questions, any thoughts, any...
Yeah, what's a dragon law?
Dragon law? Oh, I think a dragging law. I think like dragging someone along.
Yeah, this is when you have buyouts, you sometimes, somebody wants to buy something, we'll have to have a member of the bar take a look at this, but when somebody wants to buy something, a third party comes along.